This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the line, our Radio.com Sports NBA insider Rick Bucher is here, and the calls are brought to you by our friends at 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. Rick, how you doing today?
I'm actually fighting a little bit of a cold, but I sound a lot. Well, I guess it depends on how you think I sound. I feel like I sound.
Yeah.
I actually sound. This is my sexy sick voice. So
okay. I don't think I was thinking sexy sick voice. I was thinking more like it just came out of a cigar smoker with me, and we have that same kind of deep resonation.
Or that.
Okay. There you go.
I'm good either way.
Okay, I got to get to it because there was a lot of speculation about Giannis after the All-Star game about the fourth quarter and what he did and didn't do. And one of the comments we played was yours. In an All-Star game, I think it's different, but in all fairness, now you had said that maybe the fourth quarter exposed Giannis as to what he was from last year and how much did he actually learn. So give me your thoughts on all of this, first and foremost.
Yeah, well, I think it's fair to say that we've heard a lot about how Giannis has expanded his game since last year, and I would say that he has. In certainly, the 3-point shooting has come around, but from what I've seen in games, there's still his ability to hand him the ball below the free throw line and be a triple threat it's still a work in progress. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have the ability where you can hand him the ball and one on one, he's going to either beat a double team or he's going to shoot over a mid range if there's protection of the rim, or he's going to kick it out and he's going to find that open guy. It's the one piece that is missing. And you know, trust me, I've heard enough from Bucks fans who immediately said it's an All-Star game. It doesn't matter. But I dare say that anybody who watched that fourth quarter, they didn't play it like an All-Star game. That became a mano-a-mano battle, and I loved it, and it was fun to watch. And I think the great distinction is when you see Giannis at the defensive end, you see the full width and breadth of what he's capable of. He looks comfortable. He can take on any challenge. And at the other end, he's still trying to figure it out. And so for the Bucks to get where they need to go, I'm still of the mind that that Giannis has to develop that last piece. And everything I've heard about his work ethic, I have no reason to believe that he ultimately won't, but it's not in the arsenal right now. And I'll give you one simple comparison. The move that Joel Embiid made on LeBron James completely shook him. Great footwork, great balance. Little mid-range jump shot. I've seen Joel. That wasn't an accident. I've seen Embiid hit that shot a lot. That's the shot that I want to see Giannis develop. And if he develops that, then to me, that's more important than developing three-point range. You got enough three-point shooters on the Bucks. You don't really need Giannis shooting three-pointers. I need him to be able to hit a mid-range shot or draw a double team in that situation and then find one of those other three-point shooters.
I guess if Giannis is going to – let me ask you this. With the best record in the NBA and the way this team is built, I feel depth-wise and role-player-wise, everybody kind of knows their role. I think Budenholzer's got them all going in the right direction. Don't get me wrong. But I think the depth of this team, the reliance on Giannis, yes, he's the straw that stirs the drink, but they don't have to just go to him the way they did in the postseason last year. They can do other areas. They can get it to the outside with Kyle Korver or DiVincenzo, and they have many different assets. Is there a team in the East that legitimately top to bottom and matches up with the Bucks?
Yeah, I think the Toronto Raptors do, to be honest. And I think that they have what they have is they have the institutional knowledge of every player that they count on. That guy has seen and executed and performed when the lights were brightest. Like, DiVincenzo, I don't know what he's going to do in the conference finals. I've never seen him play an important role there. Korver, I like. Respect. I'm still waiting for him to hit that big shot, that truly big shot in a conference final or a final. He's not afraid to take it, but things just, as you move along in the playoffs, things get a little more difficult, a little more challenging. And, yeah, they have all those pieces, but as you go along in the playoffs, the matchup that does not favor you is the one that the other team is going to exploit. They're going to find the one matchup that doesn't fit, and then they're going to hit it hard, whether it's at the defensive end, because that's the thing. You got Korver on the floor, okay? He may hit you, may knock down a big shot. Is he going to leave you vulnerable at the other end? And can he hit enough big shots to compensate for the other end? And I look at the Raptors, and they've got guys that not only are capable of it, but have demonstrated it on the biggest stage. And so that's where, talent-wise, you can make an argument the Bucks have more talent. But when it comes to pressure situations, the Raptors have the edge there.
Which that I would agree. I think until you actually get over that hump, I don't think there's any way to really judge it to say where your experience lies, because you got to get over it first to actually say you've been there, done that. So I completely agree. The Bucks right now, I look at the Bucks and I say probably one of the top two, if not the top team, obviously, in the East. But
yep.
When it comes to, let's just say they make it to the finals, and most likely against the Lakers, unless the Lakers, I mean, who else besides the Lakers right now would have the legitimate shot at knocking the Lakers off? Maybe Clippers?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Clippers are still my favorite team as far as their depth, their experience. The Lakers are playing phenomenally well. My only question with them is they have to ride LeBron and Anthony Davis so hard, and they have to do that through June, and those guys cannot come off of the excellence that they've performed that to this point for this to work. The Clippers are still kind of just moseying along and still figuring it out, and they're still right in the mix five games back of the Lakers, in the mix with Denver and Utah. If they ever decide to put the pedal down, then I can, without question. And I think the biggest thing is defensively, the teams that they can put out there with Marcus Morris and Kawhi and Paul George and Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell, you can switch all of those. And they're all fierce, so they take pride in it. They're athletic, they're long. That's we haven't seen the best of their defense, but I would expect that we're going to see them turn it up once we get to the postseason.
Talking with Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. Only a couple more before I let you go. Do you think the Bucks are in the finals this year?
I have been on record as saying, if you're giving me the field or you're giving me the Bucks, I will take the field. There's no one particular team, and I picked Toronto at the beginning of the year, and I did it largely because I thought people overstated what Kawhi had meant to them, and I looked at guys like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, and I felt like they had room to grow, that they were only going to get better. I would not be surprised if the Bucks are in the finals. There's in a way, I'd love to see it because I'd love to see Giannis fully develop, fully be everything that he could possibly be, but there's so much reliance on him, and as I talked about, there's that one weak element with him operating below the free throw line. That's what scares me. So if you're asking me Bucks or the field, I'm taking the field. If you ask me who I'd like to see in the finals, I think it'd be very exciting if you had the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis Antetokounmpo in the finals.
That was going to be my next question. Does the league want to see a guy like Giannis, that stature of player and that kind of happy-go-lucky and that likability, do they want to see him win a championship?
Yeah, well, I mean, do they want to? I would have to think that it would certainly be great for the league to have that type of guy be the face or one of the faces of the league if he's not already. And I'm sure that there's on some level that they'd love to see a small market team go to the finals, go to the championship, re-sign their superstar, and not have the constant complaint that the best players are always going to the big markets and there's a disparity in competitive in the competitive balance between the small markets and the big markets. The Bucks going to the finals would cure a lot of that.
Let me ask you this, because the narrative seems to be all the landing spots possibly for Giannis. And my argument has always been Giannis wanted them to keep the band together, and for the most part they did. He really likes his head coach. He likes his team. The ownership did a lot for his family. And, oh, by the way, they can pay him the most. Why in the world would Giannis want to leave?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not one of those that's been beating that drum. Other than Kristaps Porzingis, I've never seen, and I don't even know if I put Porzingis in the category of superstar international players, but there's just a different mindset among international players, particularly those when they come over and a team builds around them. There's a level of gratitude that is not the same with American players. American players, whether it's the AAU influence of just growing up, believing I get to play wherever I want to play with whoever I want to play with, and that's carried on to the NBA. It's a different mindset. I think some of it too is that there's still, it's a badge of honor to be an international player and to be coveted and appreciated at that level in the NBA. But whether it was Dirk, Tim Duncan, Pau Gasol, Manu Ginobili, these are guys that don't go elsewhere, and a lot of them were in very small markets, and you never heard a peep about them trying to go someplace else because they were dissatisfied with that.
Rick, great to talk to you. Go heal up, my friend, and we will chat again later on down the road, probably during the postseason, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. There you go. Rip Bucher from Radio.com, our Sports NBA insider. He is brought to you by our friends at 5-Hour Energy Shots, now in two great tropical flavors. And you can hear Rick on Scal and Pals, a brand-new NBA podcast out now on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Just search Scal, S-C-A-L, wherever you find the podcast, and you can hear his stuff there. But
baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.